Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Pedagogy Matters podcast. The purpose of this podcast is to bring to the fore some key topics of conversation in relation to learning and teaching, to discuss, break down aspects of practice and provide snippets, advice and guidance as to how we can integrate these as part of our daily practice. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Paddy Shepherd from JISC, where we'll be discussing all things relating to AI. Paddy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yes, great. Thanks. So, Paddy, obviously, I know we had a chat kind of prior to this, but I think it'd be quite useful for our listeners to understand a bit of your context, what your role is at JISC, but also what your roles were prior, if that's okay with yourself.
That sounds good, yeah. I am an artificial intelligence senior specialist at JISC, so looking at all things educational and AI. But my background before coming up to JISC was computing and IT lecturer in a further education college, teaching from entry one right the way up through to HND. And also I've been a teaching and learning mentor looking at digital technologies and how we can use them to improve and enhance our teaching, learning and assessment practice. So working with staff, CPD, trying to upskill our digital capabilities, but also thinking about, is the tool right? How can we use it best to support our learners? So bit of a varied background, but definitely a big interest in this area.
No, that sounds fantastic, Paddy. And I think that jumps out to me is, like I say, it's that context of one, working within a sector, which is hugely important, but certainly across a breadth of levels there as well. And for our Scottish colleagues, entry one is equivalent to CQF level one, level two. You know, so it's right across that spectrum of levels, which is great. So let's kick it off. So I think to kick off with, let's explore. Well, could you give us a broad overview as to what is meant by generative AI and kind of how it's impacting on education?
Absolutely. So we've had AI for a number of years, artificial intelligence, and understanding what that's impacting us and our lives. But it has changed. It's moved up to generative AI. And I think the simplest way that I've been understanding it and looking into it and explaining it to people is we've had AI things like predictive text, spell checkers, but now we've got generative AI, which is tools such as ChatGPT, Bard, and what they can do is you can ask them questions and they will search through large language models and come back with a number of results. But it isn't just like Google, it will come back with, it will think about it and it will return a number of results such as text, images, and it will generate context based on all the data sets that it has. So we've even got video now that it can generate and it can create. So think of generative AI as something that it can create from a number of prompts that you put into it.
No, I think that's really interesting because, again, a straw poll of conversations I've had over the last month or so is that when looking at the Scottish sector, and this is probably no different than the English sector, only 10 or 15% of individuals in the workforce are actually comfortable or confident with what's meant by AI. And even that word generative AI is a term not used by the masses. And you're absolutely right. It does exactly what it says in the tin. It helps to generate new content and information. So I think that's really interesting. And how... go on.
It's thinking about what it is and actually breaking it down, I think. Yeah.
And then the next bit is, so from your experience or your interactions, how is that starting to impact education?
So this year I've been working for JISC and also previously teaching in an FE college. So I've seen it from the learner's point of view, as well as seeing what technologies are coming out and trying to review those. So from a point of view and how it might affect teaching and learning, I think, and I have seen that it will impact learners in a positive way. It will impact our ways to assess them. There are a number of different learning stages that we can think about. So at the moment, generative AI can check understanding. A learner, for example, could use it to check their understanding on a topic, type in a question and try and get an answer. It also can give adaptive learning techniques. So for example, a learner could be answering a multiple choice question and it will give them a mastery path learning with personalized learning and not just give them another set of questions. It might point them to a more, it will give them a more detailed information. So you can keep, it can keep adapting the learning style, the learning for the learner for personalized learning. What it can also do is we can get our learners to research through ChatGPT GPT, it can check their understanding. So that's a quick summary of something. Instead of having to the old days, they'd go to the library, they'd read around a topic. In previous years, they would go on to Google and they might then read through a number of articles. It's got the risk there because it might give them incorrect information, just like Google could. But for the learning and their learning stage, it's another tool that they can use. We've also got another thing in my own practice and seeing it when I went to university and studied computing and IT, social media really wasn't a very big thing. Now, in my own teaching in the last few years, I've had to teach a couple of units as my background's computing in social media and understanding analytics and things like that. So I've used AI and generative AI to understand the topic better. Teachers often do find that our subjects change and they modernize and we have to keep up. So it can fill in the gaps for us as well. I've seen my teaching assistants in the classroom as well, who haven't necessarily got a background in my subject area, but they're there to support learners and they're there to help them with assignments and breaking down topics. But I've seen my teaching assistants as using ChatGPT, and they have typed in the topic, they've quickly read through it, and then they're able to sit with that learner and identify what the learner is trying to identify, so they can fill in their gaps quite quickly, which I just saw my teaching assistant doing this, and I thought, fantastic. I didn't have any time to necessarily sit with them in that minute, but they popped on, they got that information, and then they were able to help the learner. So they felt more comfortable in the classroom. So there's a number of ways that we can use it. Thinking about it, learners, we've spoken about for a number of years of blended learning and learners need to access content 24/7. Well, this also assists that. We've got our virtual learning environments, Canvas, Moodle, Blackboard, whichever we're using, where we've got our static resources. But the only thing with a static resource, like a Word document or a presentation, it may be out of date, it may need updating. And a learner can then look at our static resources and they can go and check their understanding or they can go and find out more information through it. There are even tools now for in PowerPoint that will be coming through that it will give real subtitles at real time. So AI has been able to adapt the content that learners are seeing, because a learner could sit there and say they're English as second language. They could be using the PowerPoint and they could then be translating it a bit quicker. So they don't necessarily need a translator to translate a document before a lesson. They can look at it before the lesson, translate it, have a read through it, and then go into the lesson better prepared. So it's adapting it, and it's thinking about how we use it as teachers. We've been here before with Google when technology, when it came through, we've had Kahoot, we've had, you know, a number of different tools available to us, but it's thinking about how we use it. I think the really important thing, and there is a worry around it, is thinking about our what's ethical, what's correct. Yeah. We need to talk to our learners about their ethical and their understanding of it.
Absolutely. And within that, I'm going to say that brief intro there, you've covered a whole host of different topics, which I guess for listeners, we're going to unpick a little bit in more detail as we progress through this conversation. But I think that's really interesting around assessment, around ethics. And again, my perception at the minute, or when kind of interact with individuals across the sector, is there are quite a few different spectrums in terms of people, yeah, love it, get it, it's for me, I embrace it, as you just said there. I think there are others who are want to know but don't quite know where to start, and there'll be others thinking, well, it's a new fad, it's not for me, and so on and so forth. And I think that's really interesting when working with people. And I think going back to the starting point, one, you're absolutely right there. One, it's a tool, it's another tool that we can use. However, my view is that it's slightly different to other tools because of how vast this is, and again, it's reaching across quite a few different platforms. You alluded to Copilot there, I think, in terms of PowerPoint and so on and so forth. You've kind of referenced ChatGPT. So I think looking more holistically at how educators can use this, you've touched on a couple of points there in terms of how it could be used a little bit as kind of part of ELEs and how part of physical. But are you seeing, and is it, I guess, your view that one, it's here to stay, and two, we need to work through and I guess practice and train ourselves as to how it could be used as part of our practice, and we trial and error and we implement it and we take it forward in that space. Is that a fair assumption?
That is a fair assumption. Yeah, it's like anything that comes along new, we have to evaluate it, think about it, and we have to look at the risks, but also understand the benefits and then how to use it and what impact will it have on teaching, learning and assessment. But it's definitely here to stay. Absolutely. I mean, we've got at the moment we're piloting a trial with a tool called Teachermatic. This tool, Teachermatic, uses AI, generative AI, and it generates content such as lesson plans, teaching resources, quizzes. Now, for me as a teacher, to jump onto a tool like that, where I can type in a topic. I can type in a topic and it will generate 10 quick questions. I could use that as a formal assessment very quickly, or just to give me information about how well my learners are understanding a topic, because that's essentially what we're there for, but it's done it nice and quickly. I can give that to my learners in the classroom or outside of the classroom as well. So it gets that blended learning, but we can give that to them. We can analyze it, but instead of me having to write those questions when I've got, you know, 10 other topics to teach, for example, it will generate them. I quickly check through them, make sure they're correct. I then can build my teaching from there. So I can look at the gaps and then I can build it from there. You've also got tools that will take websites. So within, for example, the Teachmatic pilot at the moment, you can put in a website such as a building regulations for Scotland website, and it will read the website and it will come out with a list of questions. So again, if you're learning, I don't know, in health and safety for construction or childcare, you can put in the regulating authority website and it will generate some content, some questions, some assessments. We know that learners like exploring as they're learning. They do not want to just listen to us going through a PowerPoint about this regulation, but it's a way of make it more enjoyable for learners. But I don't then have to spend many hours and time creating that from that website that updates every year, that changes all the time. So it's thinking about how we use it and what impact it's going to have. Absolutely. So your second part there, where you said about AI is here to stay, it is changing constantly. And I think there's a bit of fear for us that we're thinking, how are we going to use this? Will it take away our jobs? Absolutely not. The one thing I've noticed since COVID is my learners need more one-to-one time. And if I've got something that's reducing my workload in preparing resources and analyzing their data and just trying to fill in their gap, I can then spend more time, and I've seen it this year, where I've been able to spend more time with those learners as they've needed that one-to-one attention. But actually, I've got five other students in the other part of the class who have identified the previous week or for their homework through the questions that they've gone and done, that they need a bit more, they need to fill in the gaps. So they've been working on that, and then I've been able to have more meaningful conversations and discussions with my learners on the other side of the classroom. So it's using it in that way and trying to utilize it. I think the other thing we have to think back to is that when our learners are using this technology, because they are, they're already using it. I've had a number of learners already using this. It's giving them that understanding that this won't be always correct. They have to critically analyze it. Is this correct? You need to go away and research this and come back and actually, is it giving you the right answers? It will throw out mistakes in mathematical calculations sometimes. It will throw out mistakes. What you could do is do an activity like ask the learners, right, let's brainstorm a topic in the classroom talking about climate change. What are the 10 major factors around the world causing climate change? We have a discussion about it, and then they could go away and quickly do use generative AI, and they could quickly check what it's saying, and then they could come back and review if there's any bias in there. Is it based on one part of the world? Why is it coming out with that? And then they could also do some other research to find out. So it's putting it back on them. So it's that explorational learning, but also it's then having a discussion and bringing people back in together. I think we have to educate our learners how to use it, but there will be more generative AI with tools coming through like Teachermatic, where it will produce content for us. We don't need to worry about the prompt that we're putting into it. It will come out with that content.
No, so thanks. I was going to say thanks, Paddy. There's so much in that, which you're absolutely right. And the first point I'm going to come to is about time. You know, and I've kind of referenced this, and I'm sure every conversation with individuals involved in education, time is a big barrier, and that came through in our workforce survey last year. You're absolutely right that when utilized effectively, this could be a method to free up more time, one from a personal perspective as a practitioner, but for me, more meaningfully around the interactions with students. Again, you stole my thunder. And for those that haven't listened, we've got two episodes earlier on in the series, episode 2 and episode 9, which talked about the importance of relationships and the importance of kind of meaningful interactions. And you absolutely hit the nail on the head there, that this could be another method which frees up more time as a practitioner for meaningful and effective interactions with students, either on a small group basis or one-to-one basis. But I think what's really important is that this is not seen by individuals as a quick fix. It's seen as that kind of wider holistic curriculum delivery, or a part of your curriculum delivery, as to how you can use tech, AI and other means as well to build your curriculum and help deliver your curriculum there as well, which I know is kind of what you're alluding to. But I think it's really important just to kind of use that as a pause point for individuals to reflect on and think, actually, well, how do I do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
In Teachermatic, if you don't mind explaining just a little bit more, that's one tool, there's many tools out there, but Teachermatic is one tool in particular, as you can explain a little bit. So for those that have never seen it before, what does it do and kind of what does it look like?
So it's a website platform that you can type in, I would like 5 objectives for, I don't know, one of my topics would have been human-computer interaction and the impact on society. And it will come out with a lesson plan. It will give you ideas. I know that I've struggled in the past. I've taught for 12, 13 years, where sometimes to jazz it up, as they say, and to make some topics a bit more interesting, you struggle with, and you get in your own patterns. But you can type into there, give me a lesson plan for human-computer interaction, the impacts on society, and it will come out with some suggestions. So you might not take all of them. We're human. We want to use our own in our own teaching practice. But that saves me time. That saves me research time. That gives me a few ideas to go from. And then I might go on some websites and then create a quick like questions from one of the websites, for example. I even typed into it one of my unit specs from the qualification body, and it came out with a few learning outcome questions. Those are saving me time. That is my summer normally. Another thing that you could use generative AI for is giving feedback, marking, giving feedback. It is there. So it can actually mark work at the moment. This will be separate from Teachermatic, but there's other tools and coming out at the moment. And we had a Grady pilot that we completed from the JISC National Centre for Artificial Intelligence. But that can actually look at work, and it can look for keywords, and it can quickly mark it. Learners want their feedback quite quickly. We all, for me, the go-to was, in a way, multiple choice questions, but then that can get quite dull as well for learners. So it's about that variety. But if you've got something that can mark their work nice and quickly, I would check it through it quickly, but not have to mark the whole piece, certainly for just the formative assessment. They can get their feedback quicker. We can fill in those gaps a lot quicker. Workload is reduced. You can even use generative AI to write reports. Now, that's always one thing every year. I know I've got my UCAS personal statements to write. I've got my course reports to write. I've got my student reports to write a couple of 3-4 times a year, parents' evening. And it's keeping on top of that when you've got high numbers of learners. But you can use it to give you general comments as well. So when you're running out of class and then you're suddenly got parents' evening, but you know you need to get your reports in by Friday because they need to go out, it could sit on there for 10 minutes and quickly try and generate a couple of my reports. So they're done, dusted. I've got 10 out of the way and broken it down in that way. I understand workload, absolutely, but it's using these tools to reduce that. I know my learners have loved, for example, Kahoot in the classroom. They get competitive or quizzes, and they're really enjoying it. I like those because I can quickly edit one of those. And I know they've been around for a number of years, and it's humans entering those questions in. We always have to rely on someone else who's already made those questions, whereas this will analyze a specification, analyze the prompts I've put into it, and then it will push out those questions. So it's thinking about that assessment, but also reducing our workload. So for me, it's reduced workload for me from the point of view of producing resources, creating engaging resources, a number of additional resources to complement what I've already got, but also that assessment. And then report writing as well. And then my teaching assistant, I didn't ask the teaching assistant to do it, and I was amazed and really pleased. But I didn't have to fill in their gap, if you see what I'm saying. So it benefits all.
No, I totally agree. And I think from conversations with colleagues again, who are, I'm going to say, less techie, and I'm not the most techie, but I like to kind of what's going on. It's very iterative in the sense of you can kind of pick it up quite quickly and you can kind of really refine your skills. There's lots of work there to be done, but in the same breath, it's not as scary as people think. I think going back to the point prior on kind of admin task, report writing, this, that, and the other, hopefully for me, this will kind of also ask, beg some questions as to, well, what is the purpose of some of those activities there as well? Because I know some aspects of that we like doing, some we don't, some are there just for, because they've been there for a while. You know, so for me, it's that wider conversation around kind of, well, what do we do and why do we do, what has an impact? But I totally agree. For some admin task, and I always go back to me in the sense of, and this was kind of my poor practice, I guess, as a lecturer, assignment feedback for me took me a lot of time to write up. And in the end, I kind of developed my own templates and made them quite generic because that's what I had to do because of the sheer volume of assessment feedback. We'll come up with assessment shortly. But yes, this could reduce that admin burden for me. But also at the same time, as time progressed, I was kind of focusing on how much time did I put on the importance of that feedback. So for me, some of those broader conversation around that, around report writing, around this, that, and the other, it might actually beg some questions to why do we do what we do if it's taking away time from having meaningful interactions with students and so on and so forth. So what I'm conscious of, that we've got quite a bit to talk through. I think the assessment and ethics conversation we are parked for the next episode. I think to bring to a close this first bit in terms of introduction, purpose, principles, practice of generative AI. Right, I'm a lecturer. Where do I start?
I think it's first getting an understanding of generative AI and just thinking, okay, this generates something. So get an understanding of that. Read around the topic quickly. There's lots out there. Us at DISC, we've produced the National Centre for AI. We've produced on our website a number of simple, quick examples of how generative AI can be used. We've also produced an AI primer. We're looking at where it will go with education. And that's a really useful article to read. It's looking at what people are doing with it. Top 10 ways lecturers are using it. I've given a couple of examples, and it does sound more complicated than it actually is. I would quickly set up an account on ChatGPT or Bard or whichever you wish to use, because there are a number, and have a play around with it. Ask questions. A good one could be to ask it questions about yourself or ask it questions about the college. So just to check if it is coming out with right, wrong sort of topics, have a play with it yourself, I would say, and then you then go up, get a bit more confident and put in there, create for me a number of questions based on human-computer interaction and society, as I explained. Use it, have a play with it, and then see what comes out. Don't be afraid of it. It sounds more scary than it is.
Great, thank you. And for colleagues that listen, we'll put links to the websites that Paddy's referenced there within the description of the podcast there as well. And obviously, to support some aspects of this, we are delivering some workshops at Expo, which will have taken place by the time this goes out there, of some different bits of practice there. And there's a colleague from Ayrshire who's developed his own lesson plan template to put in ChatGPT. But no, I totally agree. And I think, yeah, where I started was my subject area. And it was, tell me about this. And I can, again, as you alluded to, I provide some information from the course specification. And as I provide some content in this, ask some questions. Some bits were great, some bits were less great. And also, guess for reference, we'll put a link in the chat as well to an event we held in March, which a colleague from DISC was sharing kind of how the technology actually works. And in some cases, it predicts the next word. It kind of works one word at a time, predicts that next word, which is really interesting to understand how it helps to generate, as we said at the very start there. So I think, yeah, the best way to do it is play around. We had a colleague yesterday on a call from marketing who's experienced AI at a conference. She went, we had a play, and her mind was blown with how great it was, but also how simple it was. But I guess my lasting message to anybody that's still with us at this point is really around, one, you need to have a play with it. Two, it doesn't give you the perfect answer. You need to own it. And that's always my concern when people say, yeah, use for lesson planning or use Teachermatic or use whatever. It's not going to provide you the ready-made solution, but it'll take you 60, 70, 80% of the way there to that to end product. And it allows you to put your own stamp on it in some cases there as well. And quiz questions, particularly multiple choice questions, are incredibly difficult to write, whereas actually this does that really well for you. You know, so there are absolute tools where it's fantastic, but it does need sense check. It does need own there as well.
Absolutely. Just sense checking it, using our professional knowledge and our topics and our background, just to double check it, always is the way to go.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for that, Paddy Hall. That's a real insight. And for listeners, please tune back in. The next bit will kind of be focusing on assessment and ethics, and we'll release as part of episode 2.